Lord Jesus, we love you, and we thank you for this morning. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for pursuing us. We thank you that you never leave us nor forsake us, that you, sometimes you just draw back, but what's neat is that you never leave us. And you have a plan for us. You never give up on us. You're so cool. This morning, we're asking that you would forgive us of our sin, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Help us to have your mind. Open us up. Help us, Holy Spirit, be our teacher. Guide us into all truth. Make the word alive and quicken the thoughts you want us to have, because we need you. We can't live without you, and we're so not wanting to live in the flesh. The world, the flesh, and the devil, your enemies, and they're our enemies. We want to be right on the cutting edge of what you're up to, and we want to walk in your truth. We just say thank you for giving us a book that we could read that would empower us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I want you to look in Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we're going to look at verses 4 through 8. Deuteronomy 6. We'll start with verse 4. God commanded us to read the Bible, is point number 3 in this study on the Word of God. The first two, if you'll remember, are God first tells us that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. We need His Word, and He gave us the Word of God, and it's inspired. It's God-breathed. It's alive. And we talked about that. Number two, the Bible is our basis of truth. So the Bible is the inspired Word of God, and now that we know it's inspired Word of God, it's our basis of truth. It's what we need to base our life on. Okay? And we talked about that last week in a number of verses. This week, we're going to talk about God commanded us to read the Bible. Okay? It's the inspired Word of God. It's our basis of truth. So He wants us to read it. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 8. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Now, you know what a heart is, the center part of your being, where all your blood flows through, and your blood, as it passes through, gets filtered. What's our soul? Do you know what a soul is in the Bible? Three words. Do you know what a soul is? What? Thank you. Mind, will, and emotions. You need to get that. Whenever you see the word soul, I'm not sure if it's every single time, but it's almost every single time. It means your mind, your will, and your emotions. That's your soul. Your mind, your will, and your emotions. Okay? Verses 4 and 5 goes along with, does anybody know what the church passage, the Bible passage is for this church? Does anybody know what the Bible verses are that God said that are the it's called the church passage or the Bible passage for this church? When we started this church and He told me it was a relationship church, I said, chapter and verse, please. And He said, Matthew 22:34-40. And it starts here with Deuteronomy. This is where Jesus was quoting from. Okay, but I want you to look later at Matthew 22:34-40. That is what this church is about. Matthew 22:34-40, and it's about relationship. But that's just on the side. That's just a note. Please set it to the side, and let's keep going. But I just thought I'd bring that to your attention because we're here in Deuteronomy 4:6, where Jesus quoted from. Now look at verse 6. He just told us to love God with everything, and these words, the Bible, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart. Everything from your life needs to come from these. Everything in your life needs to be based on this word. That's what he said. These words shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of these words when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. So when are we supposed to talk about these words? Oh, y'all just capsulized it. Good. Always. Very good. Verse 8. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. What he's simply saying is keep them in front of you all the time. Sue and I have gotten verses before. We've printed them up, put them in picture frames, and put them up on our wall like pictures. But they were just Bible verses of promises that God has given us. We used to do that when we were over on 79th Street, about getting those promise verses. Okay? But this is, he says, how to teach our children, to get them into the Word of God. Keep the Word of God in front of them, the thoughts of the Word of God, so that we're living by the Word of God. Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 18, please. Deuteronomy 11 and verse 18. God says, therefore shall ye lay up these words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them, attach them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes, help keep you focused. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house and upon thy gates. God commanded us to read the Bible. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, please. Next book. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book, I'm sorry, Joshua 1, 8. Joshua 1, 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. There was a note that I wrote down in here that I thought you might want. Confusion comes when we consider any other way but God's way. Confusion comes when we consider any other way but God's way. When it's God's way, everything is plain, it's simple, it's clear, and it's so simple that a child can get it. But confusion comes when we try to figure any other way but God's way. Even trying to figure our version of God's way, because we don't want to do exactly what it says, but we want to be right with God, so we try to do our version of what God said. Right? But right? I mean, isn't that right? We want to be right with God, but we don't really want to do what we know inside we should do, so we try to twist it and tweak it and adjust it so it's comfortable, so it fits, so we can feel good about whatever we're doing or thinking. What are words, anyway? What are words? How would you describe, like, if you were going to explain words to your kids or grandkids, how would you explain words? Communication. Okay. Verbalized thought. We're getting there. Good. Verbalized thought. Words indicate what is in our thoughts, what's in our heart, what's in our beliefs. Words indicate what's in our thoughts, in our heart, and what we really believe. What is this? They're airplanes that carry spirits. Okay. What is this? The written word of God. So Let's just take that definition of what we said words were. This indicates God's thoughts, His heart, what He believes. Think about that for a minute. Is there... what is truth? Who is truth? Okay, is there any truth outside of Jesus? Do you follow what I'm saying? So there's nothing bigger than Jesus, right? And He is the truth. Okay. The words, what definition for words? It indicates what's in our thoughts, in our heart, what we really believe. It's a communication. God, this is God's thoughts. This is God's heart. His thoughts about what is true, what is right, what is the way to live. It's a manual. I like saying it's a manual for life. So often, somebody just told me this the other day, they bought something, they tried to put it together, and they said, man, I had to go read the directions. That's what we do. We try it our way, and then we have to go back and read the directions. Wonder why we have all these pieces left over, and it doesn't look like the picture. It's not working. The parts aren't moving right. Why? We got to go read the instructions. This is God's instruction manual for life. That's why He says we need to not only read the words and have them in our heart, but we need to talk of them to our children. When you walk in the way, while you're, whatever it is you're doing. That's why when I would talk to my kids, I would talk to them like if they're washing dishes. I would bring a Bible verse up about washing dishes, you know? Or cleaning, or doing homework, or dealing with a teacher at school. Because I want to bring them back to what God says about it. It doesn't matter if I got all these good sayings or good thoughts or philosophies. What matters is, what does God say? So we need to do that. Okay? The Word of God. Okay? God commanded us to read the Bible. Now let's go to Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, please. Psalms 1, 1 through 3. I didn't even talk about in Joshua 1:8 there where He said, as you read, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. He said, it needs to be in your mouth all the time. And He said, and when you do what it says, you will be prosperous. No ifs, ands, or buts. It is not an experiment. It's not that you might be prosperous. It's not that it might work. God's way always works. I like those three words. God's way works. Period. Psalms 1, 1 through 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he says, and when you do this, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, I want you to notice in verse 1, we are going to have an intake from somewhere. An intake. We're going to believe things. We're going to think things because we got it from somewhere. Normally, we're getting it from other people. Because we're hanging out with people. So, people start, have you ever been around somebody and they start saying stuff and after a bit, you're like believing it, turn around and telling it to other people? You may not even recognize it until somebody brings it to your attention that you did that. And where'd you hear that? Where did I hear that? Oh, I just heard it from Sally or Sam or whatever. We become what we associate with. I don't want to take time and go through, but I dare you to look at just verse 1 because you start off It says, you start off walking, then you stand, and then you sit. That means you slow down and start becoming comfortable with what somebody else is saying. You hang out with them. And we keep saying you become what you associate with. That's why it's very important to read the Word. That's why he said in Joshua 1:8, don't let the Word, don't quit meditating on it day and night. Because it has to do with everything of our life. Everything. And God commanded us to read the Word. Okay? Let's go to Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 33, please. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. How hard are those two words? Hear instruction. How hard are those words? Hear instruction. And be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, instruction, the word, watching daily at my gates, watching, waiting at the post of my doors. Verse 35, he says, here's the promise. For whoso findeth me, findeth the word of God, findeth instruction, finds life. You can have existence, but this is talking about how to find life. And shall obtain favor of the Lord. We want to be blessed. Isaiah 34. Isaiah 34. Let's go to verse 16, please. Isaiah 34, 16. God commanded us to read the Bible. Remember, the Bible is the inspired Word of God, so we can trust in it. It's our basis of truth. It's what we need to build, have as our base, our foundation, what we need to build on. And then he says, now I want you to read it. Verse 16, God commanded us to read the Bible. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord. Seek. You lose your keys and you're like a mad person looking for your keys. I'm just saying, look, I've been in your house when you did it. You know, it's like and besides, how many times have I done it? You know what he taught me some years ago? I'm just helping you. John 14:26. This is a side note. This is not in our notes. Just side note. The Holy Spirit is the reminderer. Every time I lose something or I can't find something or I can't remember where something is, dear Holy Spirit, please tell me where that is. And then I just set it on the shelf and I say, I go do something else. But yeah, don't you need to go to work or don't you need to do something? Yeah, but you know what? I can't go without my keys, and what am I going to do? Get all frustrated and worried? That's what I used to do, but I haven't for years because I just go, here, God, you tell me. Or you're talking and all of a sudden your brain goes blank and you can't remember something or it's right on the tip of your tongue. Dear Holy Spirit, would you please remind me? And then leave it alone. That's in John 14:26. That's just on the side, little side note. Okay, verse 16. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. He says, no one of these, none of these words shall fail. None shall want her mate. For my mouth, God says, my mouth, it hath commanded, and his spirit, it hath gathered them. It has brought them together, assembled them, collected, or helped us to grasp them. His spirit. Matthew 4:4, please. Matthew 4:4. Are any of these verses that we've given today, have you memorized any of these verses? Joshua 1:8, Psalms 1:1-3, Matthew 4:4. Good girl. I tell people. Yeah, did he? Telling you. You had a good dad. Verse 4. But he answered and said, Jesus, hey, was the devil able to trip you up this week? Was the devil, I'm just asking. No, serious. I'm asking for a reason. Was the devil able to trip you up this week? Was he able to tempt you? Was he able to make you fall? Was he able to live through you and hurt other people? Anybody want to admit that? I want you to notice something. The devil is trying to trip up, get loose through, influence Jesus. Verse 4. I don't have time to read the whole passage. So it's Matthew 4, 1 through 11, I believe it is. But if you want to read it later. But it goes like this. But he answered the devil and said, it is written. Now, how did Jesus know it was written? Wow. How about as a person? What do you think? You think he might have read it? If you don't know that, then look over in Luke chapter 4. It says he went to the synagogue as his custom was, and he stood up for to read. And when we were in Israel, Brother Bill and I, we went to a messianic congregation, which is converted Jews, but they had services like in the synagogue, and it was similar because they were trying to reach the people. It was like a bridge to bring them from where the synagogue into Christianity, and so they couldn't make it as different as we are from them, so they had a lot of similar things. And in that, they would have the priest, they would come in there carrying this box or this thing that had the word scrolls, and then somebody would come and they would be the reader that day, and they would come and they would open the scrolls and they would read from the scrolls, and they would put the box back. I mean, they did this ceremony thing. But the Bible says that Jesus went to the synagogue as his custom was and stood up for to read in Luke 4:16. But anyway, Matthew 4:4. But Jesus answered the devil and said, it is written. Now, if the devil is trying to trip up Jesus, and Jesus fought him by reading the word, quoting the word, I don't know. It was just a thought, you know. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. That's why we need to read our Bible from cover to cover. But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And we need to read it over and over again till we get it inside of us, so we keep it inside of us. Two more verses. Matthew 22 and verse 29. Matthew 22 and verse 29. Matthew 22 and verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err. You make mistakes, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. That's how we make mistakes. Not knowing the scripture, not knowing the power of God. Thinking God, we can put him in our pocket instead of God carrying us in his pocket. He's got the whole world in his hand. Okay. John 5:39. God commanded us to read the Bible. John 5:39, last verse. John 5:39, for today, to be continued. John 5:39, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Where do you think I got the idea to ask people, if you were to die right now and stand before God and he handed you a Bible and said, show me in the Bible why I should let you into heaven, what would your answer be? I got it from that verse right there. Search your scriptures. Because I've asked hundreds of thousands of people, are you going to heaven? Oh yeah, I'm going. Why? And they've got all these answers, but maybe they don't line up with the Word of God. I remember one lady told me, I saw this 70-foot Jesus riding a white horse and telling me this whole thing. And I'm like, okay, so how'd you get saved? I told you, I saw this 70-foot Jesus. I'm like, what about Jesus on the cross? What about your sin? And she didn't have anything to say. But she thought she was going to heaven because she saw a 70-foot Jesus on a white horse. What I'm saying is, search the scriptures, God says. For in them you think you have eternal life. When I was in the Baptist circles and we preached around America, in the group that I was in, if people liked your preaching, they would come up and bring their Bible. They would stand in line. They would bring their Bible up to you after you preached. and ask you to sign their Bible. That's why in the front of my Bible you'll see where I have people that have signed my Bible, different preachers that have signed my Bible. One of you I gave my other Bible to. I don't remember who. Was it you? And if you look in the front, there's all these preachers' names. And whenever people would go to, and the preacher would always write his life's verse in there, whatever it was. And when I would sign people's Bibles, I would write two verses. And I would tell them, I'll sign your Bible if you'll memorize these two verses. The two verses were John 3:3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And John 5:39, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which do testify of me. Now, accidentally, we're going to get done on time. I figure it must be an accident because I'm normally not on time. So what I want us to see today is that God has commanded us to read His Word. Commanded us to read His Word. He said we can trust it. It's the inspired Word of God. What was the second point? It's our basis of truth. It's what we're supposed to base our life on, God says. And so, therefore, I want you to read it, He says. I want you to read it. We need to read it every day. We need to meditate on it. We need to write it down. Write it on the doorpost of your house. Write it on pieces of paper and paste them up around. I know you women don't think that's all looking pretty. That's why my wife had to print them up and put them in picture frames and stuff to make them pretty. Put little curlicues next to them and all that stuff, you know. We need to read His Word. It's very important. You know what? I am so glad that most everyone in here, if not everyone in here, reads the Word. As we've talked about that, and I've heard testimony back from almost every one of you in here that you're reading the Word, you're hearing the Word, you're thinking on the Word, you're meditating on the Word. It's a blessing. I get around so many people that try to walk with God. They're Christians or going to church, but they're not reading the Word. And I find their life not being strong. I find them not, what's God doing in your life? They don't have any. I ask them, why do you believe the things that they tell me they believe? It's not based on the Word. It's based on what somebody else said, what they feel. We just need to read the Word because that's what God has promised. It's going to make us prosperous. This is how to prosper in this world that I put you, He said. You just got to read the instruction manual, but you got to own the instruction manual, not just read it a little bit. Say, okay, I read it once. Now I'm done. I got it now. I got it all figured out. 2 Corinthians 12:9-10. Yep. When God first brought that scripture to my attention and told me it was for me, I got so mad. I said, my preacher wants me to be strong. What do you mean you want me to be weak? You know? He says, well, Harvey, when you're strong in an area, I can't be. Any area you're strong in, I can't be because you're trusting in your own strength. You're trusting in your own wisdom, your own ability. And he said, and then I just sit back and wait till you're done. We don't. That's the thing. That's why we fail so often. Because we depend on ourselves instead of God. That's why it's about dependence instead of independence. It's why it's about humility instead of pride. Knowing the Word will determine how sharp your sword is. Amen. Lord, we love You. And we're so thankful that You gave us Your Word written down. We don't have to guess. We don't have to wonder. We don't have to try to remember or wonder if the other one telling us got it right. We can go and look it up, and then You gave us the ability to read, which everybody through history did not have, even today. And then You made it where it was, we're in a country where for at least now we can have the Bible and we can read it. And Lord, we just want to thank You for that privilege that You've given us. We're asking You would help us to hide it in our heart, help us to meditate on it day and night, help us to observe to do what You would want, so that we could live. We said we want to be like Jesus. Well, He knew the Word. And the Word was His every moment of His life. And that's what we want it to be in us. And we thank You for loving us so much. For giving us Your Word. Thank You, Jesus. Amen.